Well, our scripture reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 13, the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, and reading together from the verse 13, and following the milestones in the life of Moses. And we considered last Lord's Day his exodus, his departure from Egypt. It was his second departure from Egypt. He departed at 40 years of age, but the Lord sent him back at 80 years of age to lead all of his people out. And so last week we thought about that exodus. It came after judgment upon the Egyptians. It came by redemption. The blood of the Lamb was shed. And it came in fulfillment of God's word, and what tremendous lessons those were for our hearts. Today we're reading in chapter 13 and verse 13, really the commencement of the journey to Canaan. The Lord instructing Moses declares in verse 13, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. But all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." Just as we read verse 13, can I say to you that the ass in that verse is a picture of the sinner. If he was not redeemed by a lamb being sacrificed for him, the firstling of an ass, if he wasn't redeemed, then his neck was broken and he perished. What a picture that is of the sinner. If you are not redeemed, you will perish. Not merely in physical death, but you will perish in hell. You're under condemnation unless the blood of the Lamb covers you. Then you will perish. And that's what the firstling of the ass pictures in that verse. Verse 14, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? Thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt from the house of bondage. It came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of thy children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Amen. And we'll end our reading at the end of the chapter and trust that the Lord will bless the reading of His word to our hearts. And this morning, short portion of scripture that we read together this morning, particularly from verse 17. To verse 22 of Exodus chapter 13, records for us the commencement of Moses and Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land, their inheritance. That journey, of course, commenced after their exodus from the land of Egypt. It was a journey that would take 40 years to complete. Because of Israel's sin and their failures within the wilderness. 40 years they wandered from Egypt until they entered in to Canaan. The journey from Egypt to Canaan typifies the Christian journey from this world to heaven. From the moment we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we commence a journey through this wicked, evil world. We journey not on the broad road anymore, but on the narrow way. And our journey from this world to heaven is typified in the journey of the Israelites journeying from Egypt to Canaan. Now, as the journey commenced, there are a number of impressive features that stand out for our consideration in these verses. Let me mention a few, but there's one we're going to focus our mind on this morning. But notice in verse 18, the order with which they departed from Egypt. It tells us God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Do you notice the word harnessed? It is literally translated, or could be literally translated, they went up by rank. In other words, it wasn't just a mass crowd charging forth together with no order. It wasn't, as you see, large crowds in the streets coming out of some event and everyone's just walking and there's pushing and jostling and it's just, as we would say, a mass exodus and everybody's going as quick as they can in one direction. That's not how Israel left Egypt. They met at a particular point. They came from Ramesses to Succoth, and from there they departed in rank, harnessed. It could also be translated by rank of fives. And so as you see an army march, as you see a parade marching in file and in rank, Israel departed Egypt by their tribes and in rank. It was done decently and in order. Men and women, that's how God's work should be done. Decently and in order, not a mishmash of every man just charging forth at his own will. But no, they left with order, they left with discipline, and they left with structure. And God's people are to march through this world to heaven, disciplined and in file and in rank in the place that God would have them marching on to heaven. You'll notice not only the order, but you'll notice what they took with them, the bones of Joseph. Verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Joseph, before he died, caused Israel, the leaders of Israel, to take an oath that when they departed, he said, God will surely visit you. He knew that God would visit again his people. And he said, when he does, I want you to bring my bones. I want you to bring my earthly remains. And I want you to bring them up to Canaan and bury them there in the promised land. And he made them swear that oath by faith. He believed the word of God. And he believed that God would take his people back to their promised inheritance. And so when they went forth, they not only went forth in order, with discipline, every man in his own rank and every man in his own place, they went up with faith. They took the bones of Joseph with them in faith. Joseph had faith, Moses had faith that God was taking them to Canaan. Moses believed he would take the remains of Joseph, and though they'd be 40 years in the wilderness, he'd bury them in Canaan. And so they're departing in faith in the promise we're going to get to the promised land. And my friend, when we leave the Egypt of this world and we start the journey to heaven, when we turn our back on the Egypt of this world and we start our journey to the heavenly Canaan, we go by faith knowing we'll come to the promised land. We'll come to our heavenly Canaan and our eternal inheritance. You'll notice too, not only the order and the fact that they took the bones of Joseph with them, but notice the places that are mentioned. And there's one in particular that we should give attention to. They left Ramesses, which was chapter 12 and verse 37. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. And then when you come to chapter 13, and you'll see it in verse 20, tells us they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham. Ramesses was the place of bondage. It was one of the cities that Israel built during their time of slavery. It was typified the house of bondage, and they left it to come to Succoth. Do you know what Succoth means? It means booths or tents. They're leaving the place of bondage and slavery, and they come to a place that was known as the place of booths or tents, and it's reminding them and teaching them that the journey they're about to take, they have no permanent dwelling place. They're going to dwell in tents and booths through the wilderness until they get to their inheritance in Canaan. And isn't the typical teaching so correct and right? You see, as we turn our back on the Egypt of this world, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we leave the house of bondage, where we're under the tyranny and slavery and bondage of the devil, we begin our journey to heaven, and we have no continuing city here. As the hymn writer said, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We have nothing in this world that we have is permanent, and we should look on ourselves as pilgrims. We're just those, as it were, who are dwelling for a short period of time, and therefore our earthly habitation, it should be like the tent. We should look at the tent isn't permanent. It can be taken down. It can be moved. It can be damaged and destroyed. But oh, when we get the heavenly Canaan, we have an inheritance that is eternal. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled, and it's reserved and heaven for us. When they came to Succoth, the teaching was that they were pilgrims and they were journeying through to a better land. And child of God, this world is not our home. We are journeying on to a better country, the heavenly Canaan, the heavenly city that is our eternal inheritance. These things are notable as they begin their journey to Canaan, but I think the most outstanding feature of the commencement of Moses' journey to Canaan was the pillar of cloud and fire that God gave to guide the people. Look at verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It wasn't Moses who led the children of Israel through the wilderness. It was God who led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he did so by giving the pillar of cloud and fire. It's called the pillar because that was the shape or form of it. And it came down into the wilderness. And by day, it was the pillar of cloud. It looked like the cloud. And at night, as it reached up into heaven, it was like fire. It wasn't two pillars. It was one pillar. And by day, it was likened unto the cloud. And by night, it had the form of fire to lead and guide the people. And the lesson of the pillar of cloud and fire is that God was leading his people from Egypt to Canaan. Men and women, God still guides his people on their journey from earth to heaven. Like the sheep, we would go astray. Left to ourselves, we would go astray. But God guides his people from this world to the heavenly glory. Psalm 32, verse 8. Listen to these words. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. When God redeems his people, he will instruct you, he will teach you, and he will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. That's his promise to you. And so this morning, in the time that we have remaining, I want to consider Moses and his guidance through the wilderness by this cloudy, fiery pillar, what lessons there are for the child of God. The first thing I want to highlight about God's guidance is that when God guides His people, He is present with them. When God guides His people, He is present with them. We're looking particularly at verse 21 and 22. And look at and consider the way that verse 21 is worded. It says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. Do you notice? The Lord was in the pillar of cloud. It underlines that fact in verse 21. And it's just that one wee word, in. The Lord went before them. We'll come to that in a moment. He was there. And He was in the pillar of cloud. The Lord Himself was in the pillar. Israel was not going into the wilderness on their own. They were not taking this journey on their own. They were not going at their own charge. They were not going at their own direction. They were not guiding themselves. The Lord was guiding them, and He was there with them. He was in that pillar. What a wonderful truth it is to know that the Lord is present with His people as they journey from this world to heaven. The fact that the Lord was in the cloud is evident in the fact that on a number of occasions He spoke to Moses and Israel from the cloud. Let me quote Psalm 99 verse 7. And then I want you to turn to another portion in Exodus. But in Psalm 99 verse 7 we read this. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. From the cloud, the Shekinah glory it's often called, God spoke to Moses and Israel from it. He was in that cloudy pillar, the glory of the Lord. Now turn over to Exodus chapter 33 because you have an example of the Lord coming down. And this period in Israel's wanderings was actually a sad occasion. Exodus chapter 33. Israel had sinned. God had warned Moses that He would depart because of the children of Israel's sin and their backsliding. And so Moses separated the tabernacle from the people and he pitched it without the camp in verse 7. But then in verse 9 we read, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Though the people had sinned, and then, if truth be told, they'd lost their way, and had they continued in their sin, the Lord was warning that He would depart from them. He said He would send an angel, but He would depart. Look at verse 13 and 15. He's speaking to Moses, and Moses says to the Lord, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Moses is asking for direction. He's asking for guidance. Do you know that the Lord has come down? He's in the pillar. He's in the glory, the Shekinah glory. He's there at the door. And Moses is asking the Lord, show me the way. Verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. And the Lord had promised in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. Can you put it all together? Can you see that the Lord was with His people in the cloudy pillar, the Shekinah glory? It was present with Israel. And often the Lord spoke from that pillar. And He spoke on this occasion in Exodus 33 to show Israel the way that they should go and to assure them of His presence. Men and women, can I say that on our journey to heaven, The Lord is present with us. And it is by His speaking voice that He guides us and He leads us through this world. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105, I quoted those words in prayer. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This book is our cloudy pillar. It is from this book that God speaks to us, and God guides us, and God leads us. And through this book, we have the Lord with us on our journey to heaven. And from it, He speaks to us so that He would lead us in the way that we should go. And if you want to know the will of God, you want to know guidance from the Lord in your Christian life, what you should do in certain situations, how you should act and how you should behave and how you should conduct yourself on your journey to heaven, then you need to read this book. It's the lamp, it's the light, it's the pillar that speaks to us and guides us and points us to heaven and to home. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 13 for a moment, you'll not only notice that the Lord was in the pillar to guide them, but it tells us there, and the Lord, by His presence in the pillar, note those wee words, He went before them. Isn't that lovely? The Lord never sent His children to the place that He had not been or was not leading. If you want to know how this played out and experience the experience of the children of Israel, just turn over to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, and it's explained in verse 17. It says, "And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents." This verse is experiencing or teaching us the experience of Israel and how God guided them by the pillar. When the Lord wanted them to pitch their tents for a season, the cloud rested over the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a type of Christ. The tabernacle was where the place where Israel worshipped the Lord through Christ. And how significant and wonderful the typology of the Old Testament. For the cloud, the presence of the Lord, it guided the children of Israel to the tabernacle. It pointed them to Christ where He would be sacrificed. The lamb was sacrificed on the altar, and the high priest went in to the most holy place to pray for Israel. The cloud abode over it, and it led them to it. You see, the Lord guides His people and His children to Christ and to worship God through Christ. That's the significance of the cloud resting. One of the significances of the cloud resting over the tabernacle. And when God wanted His children in the wilderness to remain in a particular place, the cloud rested over the tabernacle, pillar. But when the Lord wanted them to go a little further in their journey, the cloud moved from off the tabernacle and it went before them and it led them to the place the Lord wanted them to go. And you can get the picture in your mind's eye. You can see it. The cloud's moving forward. He's going before. They're not running on ahead of the Lord. The Lord's not asking them to go somewhere where He is not. He is going before them. Doesn't it remind us of the words of Jesus when speaking about the word, speaking about the work of the shepherd, John 10 and 4, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him. The Lord goes before His people. The little chorus says, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." My friend, the Savior has gone before. And He's leading you on and He's leading you to heaven. And your responsibility and duty is not to run ahead of the Lord, but to follow Him. Oh, when the Lord guides his people. He is present with us and he goes before us. But the second thing I want to emphasize from Exodus 13, 21 and 22 is this. God guides his people. When we follow him, God guides his people in the right path. I'm going to repeat that. When we follow him, God guides his people in the right path. Psalm 107, verse 7, the psalmist commenting on Israel's wanderings, he said, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. He led them forth by the right way. The way that God leads is the right way. And that's brought out wonderfully in Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 17 of the passage we read together. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let them go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." Notice that little phrase, "although that was near." The most direct route, the easiest way to Canaan from Egypt was by the way of the Philistines. But the Lord and Moses didn't take Israel that way. I have no doubt there would have been those that were there among the Israelites. They would have questioned, perhaps even murmured or complained, "Why is he not taking us by the way of the Philistines? Why do we not go the most direct and the easiest route? Why are we going by the way of the Red Sea? We'll be shut in. Why are we then going into the wilderness, the hard place?" And perhaps if we had been there, we might have asked the same questions. Perhaps we'd have murmured and complained ourselves. We may have argued, "There's a better way." We may have said, "There's an easier way. Why are we not going the way of the Philistines? It's the near way. It's the easier way." But verse 17 reveals that God knew best. Because it tells us in verse 17, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. Had they gone the way of the Philistines would have engaged them immediately in battle. And they weren't ready for the battle. They'd only come out of Egypt. They would meet and engage in the battle soon enough. In chapter 17, the first encounter would be with the Amalekites. But God would have already prepared them for that. But as they depart as a nation of slaves, they're not ready for the battle. And the Lord tells Moses, if they go by the way of the Philistines, they'll engage in battle, they will have their hearts discouraged, and they will return to the land of Egypt. And so the Lord took them another way. He took them the right way. He led them forth, verse 18, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. There is, when the Lord leads us, a right path. And verse 17 and verse 18 reveals that God knew better than the Israelites. He knew what was best. And so God led them another way, the right way. There's a wonderful little verse in Ezra chapter 8 and the verse 21 when Ezra was returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And they had to take their journey from Persia to Jerusalem. And he made the people sit down by the river, and they afflicted themselves, and they fasted, and they prayed. And Ezra 8, verse 21 tells us, I proclaimed, that is Ezra proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. Brethren and sisters, do you know there's a right way for us to journey to heaven? And the Bible assures us that when we seek the Lord And when we trust in Him and are prepared to follow Him, the Lord will lead us in that right path. You think of those words we teach the Sunday school children. They're learned from our youth. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. They're some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Listen, if Israel was to lean on their own understanding, they'd have gone the way of the Philistines. That have said, we're going to Canaan. The most direct, the easiest route is to go through that land. That's human understanding. Leaning on our own understanding. Human reasoning. Rather, Moses sought the Lord. And the promise is, when we lean not on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Like Ezra, like Moses, we seek the Lord for the right way for us and for our little ones, for our families. The promise is, I will direct thy paths. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall, that's a promise. That's a definite promise. He shall direct thy paths. Do you know the problem, men and women? Too often when we seek the Lord for guidance and He shows us and He leads us in the way we want to go or the way He wants us to go, that way might be dark. That way might be the way of the wilderness. It might not only be dark, it might be difficult. It might be a discouraging way, and we think there's a better way, there's an easier way, and so we want to go our own way. I tell you, whether the path be dark and difficult and discouraging, if in seeking the Lord and in following Him, let me tell you where He leads us, it's always the right path. It's always the right path. And men and women, whatever way He leads us, we should, like Moses and the children of Israel, be ready and prepared to follow Him. When God guides His people, He is present with us to go before us. When God guides His people, He leads us in the right pathway. The third and final thought this morning is this: when God guides His people, He is willing to guide us continually. Look at verse 22. It tells us, He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, we read again Nehemiah commenting on the wilderness years. He stated that for those 40 years, the cloud and pillar did not depart. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. For the 40 years through the wilderness, the pillar of cloud was present with them. And by night, the pillar of fire, God took it not away from them. You know, in spite of their murmurings and complainings, in spite of at times their backslidings and their sins, the cloudy pillar was there. And when they sought God's guidance and repentance, the Lord led them all the way to the borders of Canaan, their inheritance. And how wonderful, as I have already said, the types of the Bible are. Because until the day and hour God takes us home to glory, He has promised and He is willing to be our guide even unto death when we reach the heavenly Canaan. Two verses I quote in closing. They're wonderful verses. You should mark them in your Bible. Psalm 48 and verse 14. The psalmist makes this profession. Speaking of Jehovah the Lord, he said, this is our God forever and ever. He's not ours for the years of time alone. But my friend, He's ours for all eternity. Forever and ever, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Isn't that lovely? He'll not take the pillar from us, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He'll guide us, and He's willing to guide us until the point of death, when we enter into our eternal inheritance. We shall be safe in glory forever and forever. Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Isn't that a wonderful promise to claim? Lord, Your word tells us You'll be our guide unto death. You'll guide us continually. Lead me and guide me aright. Teach me to walk by faith and not by sight. Lead me in heavenly light. Teach me Thy way. Moses and his guidance. The Lord gave him the cloudy pillar and the fiery pillar to lead him from Egypt to Canaan. And He's given us His word and His presence to lead us to. May He lead us in the path He wants us to go as His redeemed people.